Okay, councillors, ready to proceed then? Hello, and you're all very welcome this evening. It's with great sympathy that I've returned back to Ireland in the last couple of days to learn of some tragedies within our district. Very unfortunate to hear once again that there was a fatal, serious road traffic accident on the A1 carriageway on Sunday evening, which claimed the lives of three great young men from within our district. And I just want to extend the deepest of sympathies from this council to the families of Conal Haven from Newry, of Peter Hughes from Drumontee, and from Gavin Sloan in Addycall. And today I've asked for council staff to formally send out those sympathies in the form of letters, and we're in the process of compiling those as we speak. So, very unfortunate that we have to start our meeting in that context. We've all had our DEA meetings this afternoon, and I hope they went favourably. I know ours did, and I'd like to pass you over now to Simon, who's going to proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, councillors, my name is Simon Richardson, and I'm the Divisional Manager for the Southern Division of Transport NI. Just like to thank you for this opportunity to present our annual report to the new Newry Moor and Down Council. I'm accompanied tonight by Stephen Duffy, who's a section engineer for Newry Moor and Down East, based in Castlenavon. Unfortunately, Cindy Noble, who's a section engineer for Newry Moor and Down West, is on leave, so she can't join us. As you'll see from the extent of the annual report, there was significant work completed across the road network in the district last year. At this point in my opening remarks, I would normally take you on a brief run through the key issues in the report. However, as this is the first Transport NI presentation to the new council, I would like to take this opportunity to update you on a few issues which are impacting significantly on the work we do and the way we do it. The main one is namely finance and budgets. You'd all be aware of the impact that significantly reduced budgets are having on the services we provide, particularly the resource budget, which is used to fund contractors carrying out service work such as grass cutting, weed spraying, gully emptying and road markings. The key issue here is the view that the department only has a reduction in its resource budget of 0.6%. This is misleading and unrepresentative of the real impact on the department's budget. In reality, the department is facing cuts and pressures of some $60 million on the resource budget, around 18% of the 2014-15 baseline figure. The real £60 million pressure has been allocated across Transport NI, Northern Ireland Water and Translink. However, the brunt of the pressure falls on Transport NI, as NI Water is a regulated utility and Translink is a limited company and must remain solvent. Accordingly, of the £60 million, Transport NI was allocated approximately £39 million of the pressure. DRD has sought to maintain as far as possible the services that NI Water and Translink provide, but in doing so, they too are still taking significant cuts to their budget. However, even with these cuts, DRD has still had to move money from roads to NI Water because the company would not have been able to meet its basic legal and licence obligations otherwise. As a consequence of addressing pressures in NI Water, further reductions were required from Transport NI. The Transport NI budget has limited room for flexibility as a result of two long-term public-private partnership arrangements and other contractual and staff-related costs. After taking contractually committed, legally necessary and staffing costs into account, Transport NI has £13 million to cover all remaining resource budget activities. These include street lighting and traffic signal energy, funding for external contractors, including those who normally cut grass, spray weeds, empty gullies, and those who repair traffic signals and streetlights, and the supply of materials, including patching materials, gritting salt, fleet maintenance, and fuel. All of these services normally cost around £40 million. Indeed, the £13 million will only cover the street lighting and traffic signal energy costs and inspections, and they're made up. The street lighting costs and the traffic signal energy is over £11 million, with a further £2 million required to meet the legal obligations associated with inspection and testing of street lighting installation. As a result, Transport NI has been unable to utilise external contractors to carry out routine maintenance work and street lighting repairs since the start of the new financial year in April 2015. This means the department is currently moving forward at some financial risk, i.e. at this point in time, we do not have the budget to cover the services we are providing. If some work was not taken forward at risk, around 500 industrial staff employed by the department would be confined to depots with no work due to the budget position. This would be totally unacceptable, and the Minister therefore sanctioned Transport NI to provide a skeleton routine maintenance service in the first quarter of 15-16. I can now inform you that the Minister has sanctioned a continuation of the skeleton service for the second quarter of the financial year. To maximise our outputs and deliver the best possible services with our in-house resources, my teams have been working closely with our operation and maintenance colleagues to plan and programme work in the most effective and efficient ways. Some of the functions where we are providing a skeleton service, for example, grass cutting, where we've had to take the decision to reduce the number of cuts from 5 in urban areas and 2 in rural areas to 1 cut across all areas during the season. We're cutting sight lines at junctions more frequently as and when required for safety reasons. For gully cleaning, in the first quarter of this financial year, we were cleaning gullies on a responsive basis. However, at the start of the second quarter, the Minister agreed to enhance service and has instructed that we clean gullies in urban areas once per year. We are initially concentrating resources on high priority areas. In relation to road defects, we are endeavouring to use our resources to repair the larger defects on higher traffic roads. I can assure you this is not the level of service that myself and my staff wish to be delivering in this district and across Southern Division, but I hope it gives you a feel for the extraordinary position we find ourselves in and the steps we are taking to maintain service. The Minister is aware of this Council's concern in relation to maintenance activities, and he has noted the resolution passed by this Council, detailed in a letter to him from the Chief Executive dated the 17th of August. The Minister has asked me to assure you that he has been bidding vigorously for additional funding to enable maintenance activities to be resumed to previous levels. Another issue which is going to impact significantly on Transport NI during the financial year is the result of the voluntary exit scheme across the Northern Ireland Civil Service. In Southern Division alone, this is likely to see a reduction in staff numbers of approximately 15%. When you consider that in 2014, Road Service, as we were known then, also completed an admin savings project to reduce staff numbers by around 10%, this adds up to a significant reduction in staff numbers in a very short period of time. These levels of reductions will also be applied to our design and consultancy services teams that support my staff in the design, procurement and supervision of schemes, and to our operation and maintenance staff who are currently providing the skeleton service I mentioned earlier. These reductions will require careful planning and internal reorganisation between now and the completion of the voluntary exit scheme in April next year. Then, following on quickly after the voluntary exit scheme, will be the reduction in the number of Stormont departments. This will mean the establishment of the new Department for Infrastructure, which will incorporate the services currently provided by DRD, along with other functions currently provided in other departments. For example, Rivers Agency, which is currently in the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, will also be part of the new Department for Infrastructure. This change may well require further organisational change for Transport NI in the next financial year. And given that we have already made internal organisational changes to be co-terminus with the new council arrangements last year, I think it is fair to say that Transport NI is in the middle of continuous significant change. These changes will be challenging, but I do believe that the staff who will remain in the organisation after the voluntary exit scheme are capable of delivering the highest possible service with the resources available. And now to the report itself. In his press release ahead of this evening's meeting, Minister Kennedy announced the investment of £12.2 million in road schemes in 2014 in the Newry-Mourne and Down district. He also makes reference to the challenging financial position, which I have already covered. The report details the work completed across the district and highlights our planned work for this financial year. Given that I have spoken for some time on finance and organisational change, and as the report is bigger than previous years, as it covers a larger council area, I will not go through it in detail. However, despite the restricted budgets last year, I think you can all see that we have completed a significant amount of work across the district. A large portion of this work was able to be completed because we bid for additional funding at monitoring rounds during the year and were successful in receiving additional money, particularly in the last quarter of the year. The knowledge and experience of Cindy and Stephen and the teams they manage allows Transport NI to use this money for monitoring rounds to improve and maintain the road network in the most effective way. However, this requires careful planning and careful management of contractors carrying out the work to ensure we maximise our outputs while trying to cause least disruption to the road user. While additional funding was forthcoming last year on the capital side of things, particularly in structural maintenance, we cannot be guaranteed it will come again this year. However, I can assure you that Cindy and Stephen have a programme of resurfacing schemes that can be brought forward as and when funding becomes available. And we will continue to bid for funding during monitoring rounds to maximise the investment in the road network. Going forward, we will continue to place our emphasis on maintaining the road network. In today's climate, it is all the more important to carefully analyse the work we do and how we do it. Prioritising our work, comparing one scheme against another, is more important than ever to ensure we target areas of most need. To this end, Stephen and Cindy will continue to plan, prioritise and deliver resurfacing schemes as and when finances become available. Chairperson, with your permission, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Stephen and Cindy and their teams for the excellent work they continue to provide in maintaining the road network in this district. In the report, you will find details of our strategic route improvements from pages 14 to 16. I can bring you up to date on the position with our bid for EU funding on the Newry Southern Relief Road. Unfortunately, this bid was not successful and no EU funding is being made available at this time. Transport NI does, however, have a budget allocation to continue the development of this scheme during this financial year. Our two main areas of work, namely traffic and network development and network maintenance, are detailed on pages 20 through 39 and pages 40 through to 61, respectively. You will see reference to the Downpatrick traffic study on page 27. I can now bring you right up to date with the situation on this review. Myself and my teams presented the options contained in the final draft of the report to electorate representatives, council officials and Chamber of Commerce last week, and we are now in a position to complete the report, having taken on board comments from those meetings. It is my intention to go out to public consultation on the options as soon as possible to allow the public and traders to comment on the various options. And visits that my team will set up a display of the options at a suitable venue in the town centre to allow the public easy access to the drawings and layouts, and my staff will be available to answer questions. I aim to carry this out in the autumn. On one final point before I finish, I would like to raise one issue where Transport NI and the new council has worked closely to deliver an outstanding event, namely the Irish Open Golf Tournament. Council was in the lead with delivering a range of activities and events around the tournament, but probably the most difficult and potentially most disruptive aspect was the traffic management arrangements for the event. Councils took the lead in chairing and planning the meetings to deliver the traffic management arrangements, along with ourselves and Transport NI, TransLink and the PSNA. I think these arrangements worked extremely well, and from my perspective, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of the council officials that I and my team worked with to help make it a huge success. And I look forward to working in partnership with the council on other such events in the future. Chair, that completes my presentation. And at this point, I'm obviously happy to take any questions that anyone has. It would be helpful if you could make reference to the page number, just if you're referring to the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Simon. And just on that final note, just to reiterate, because I know we've spoken informally about it previously, but we haven't done so formally in a formal capacity. So just to share our council's appreciation to you personally and to your staff members for the diligence and planning and effort that went into rolling out the delivery of the Irish Open. It was a very successful event for our district, and it has been noted here on occasion in the past that there was a lot of effort and time put in by officials from both within Transport NI and from within this council. So I also would like to reiterate our thanks to you and your staff members for that planning and the delivery of the project. Councillors, I am going to open up now for questions from the floor. Just before I do so, I did omit to take apologies before we started. Are there any apologies to be noted? Councillor Larkin.
Councillor Willie Clark.
Okay.
Councillor Valerie Hart.
Craig and Hart.
Councillor Andrews.
And Councillor Carr. Sorry, Dermot, say that again.
McGrath.
And Sharvin.
Anybody's not here?
And Taylor. Okay, is that everyone? Thank you, councillors. Just very quickly, briefly also, I just want to make the point that we want to try and restrict questioning this evening on the basis that we have given councillors quite an extended period this afternoon to have the DEA clinics. And during that occasion, I think we had an appropriate time scale in which to question road service officials about major and minor projects within the district. So if you can try and restrict your questioning to questions either pertaining to the presentation that Simon has just given or to any strategic works of importance within the district. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Chair, and Simon, for your report. And we understand the situation we're in and everything else. But you said in your report, Simon, that one cut has been done or will be done, and the dangerous junctions has been cut. I could disagree with you on that and say that that's entirely wrong. That the dangerous junctions that are in the South Armagh are still there, never been touched and never been cut. So that's inaccurate in what you're saying. The overall situation on the rural roads is got where people's lives are put at risk, where holes are so deep roads is impassable. As I said, the edge of the roads grew in, like where people can't see out. And just with the pure neglect that's happening there, will this lead to the closure of rural roads over the winter time? We're also hearing now although there's going to be some money for winter maintenance, that there's also money cut back on the salt supply. But it's just overall, it's like as if in the rural area I represent, it's like as if road service just disappeared, that they don't exist anymore. And it's so disheartening when people's ringing you all the time about issues. Do you know, there's actually really no point even in ringing into the offices, because they don't have the resources, they don't have the money, that's all you hear. But I think that the resources that we have is being badly managed. There's a number of road service staff that is only too willing to do work, but they don't have the equipment. There's the dangerous junctions that we're talking about here, this road service staff comes out. Even they had strimmers to cut the dangerous junctions so people could see out. But they're out with one hand as long as the other, with no equipment, no tar, run out of pathal, couldn't get pathal to finish bits of cutting the starter. It's total and utter chaos, and it will cause lives, no doubt, in the rural area. And I can understand that whatever bit of money you spend it in where the bulk of the traffic is, maybe in the towns and cities and that. But it's just a real abandonment of rural Ireland, total and utter devastating to the people that live there. And I say it's just as if road service disappeared to the people in the rural areas. And as I say, we had a meeting, it was fair enough, and regardless of what we raised, there was no money to do anything, which actually turned out a total and utter waste of time. And the input of the councillors, and I feel it's just a box-ticking exercise here. We've had these meetings for years and years when there was money within the pot, and we lobbied for junctions to be done, and had them in a lovely nice brochure for 2 years, and now they've just disappeared because someone just took a notion, well, they're not a top priority. Well, we did these meetings for years and said they're a top priority for us, and I'd say, what is the point in meeting us if what we say doesn't matter or doesn't exist after we leave this? But we're going through the motions here and we're ticking the box and we say we delivered our nice report. But I'd say, God help rural Ireland.
Sorry, Simon, would you like to respond? Because I don't see too many more lights on. So if you'd like to, I'll come back to Councillor Murnan in a second, if you'd like to respond to that.
Okay, Councillor, we had the opportunity to discuss some of these issues prior to it. You know, I've said there'll be one grass cut across the whole area. I have to say some of the areas will not have been cut yet, that's right. I mean, some of them were cut early in the season, some of them will be cut late. We have where junctions need to be cut, we certainly have gone out and tried to cut those in a timely fashion to make sure they were safe. If there are any junctions which you are aware of which haven't been cut, I want to hear about them and we will try and get those cut. Well, what I would say to you about, you know, you said there's no point in ringing in. I would say there is a point in ringing in. I mean, you know the staff in the section offices very well. You know how keen and how determined they are to do work. They're not work shy in any shape or form. And we need to know the information that's out there, the difficulties that are out there. So when the money does come available, we can react to them. And I think it's very important that we communicate. The point that you made in relation to some of the schemes not being in the report, that's correct. And I took that decision to take them out of the report from previous years. In previous years, when we had an expectation that there was a large amount of capital money there to take these schemes forward, we put in 6, 7, 8 schemes every year to try and take those forward. I'm in a totally different financial position now. We're looking at 2, 3 schemes. So some of those schemes have been taken out. This is my first opportunity that I've had to speak with councillors. I'm not hiding behind the fact that those schemes have been taken out. They have been taken out, but that does not mean to say they're off the radar in relation to them coming back on. And we will be keeping those reserve lists ready for when the money comes that we can take them forward. But I do think it's very important that we keep talking. It's not a waste of time to interact with councillors as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Simon. Councillor Mernan. Sorry, I'm looking at you, Mark. I meant to say Mernan, apologies.
It's worrying that you think I look like Councillor McAteer. Just a couple of things. You've mentioned the gridding earlier on, and I'd be concerned in this Slieve Croob area with it being so rural, the impact that it's going to have in that area. And really just asking, is there any plan to deal with that? For instance, bringing farmers in to do something, or putting additional grit out on the roads that may be affected. And then the second one is the Ballinahinch bypass. Can you give us a bit of a further update on that? Bearing in mind that we've had another fatality in the town centre, and that it is purely down to the amount of traffic that goes through the town.
I painted the picture in the presentation in relation to where we are with funding. We basically have a zero funding level at this minute in time. However, the intention is to provide a gridding service similar to the gridding service we provided last year and the year before. That is the intention moving forward. We have the opportunity to use farmers in certain circumstances, and we'll move forward on that basis. So we want to provide the same service that we've always provided. The Ballinahinch bypass, I expect there to be. We had a public presentation of the draft orders a few months ago, and we have received comments and representations from the public on that basis, and we're considering those in relation to taking a decision as to whether a public inquiry is needed. And it is likely that there will be an announcement in relation to the need for a public inquiry in the very near future.
Thank you, Simon. Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Yeah, certainly nice to see you again once again, Simon, and I suppose our sympathies with you in the sense of budget. But I do think that you did mention earlier on there two things that I just want to brought you back over again. You did say that there was £12 million investment announced by Minister Kennedy. That's not in this report, is it?
He's gone.
I just think, did he write the cheque before he left? And has it been cashed? That wasn't the question. What is that? I mean, has that been, where is this £12 million? It's not in this programme here, is it? Before us? Yeah, okay. And secondly, you did talk, Councillor Hardy talked about the fact that he forgot to lift the phone because he felt he wasn't going to get an answer. But I think maybe there's an opportunity when you are under these constraints at these particular times that you should be listening to the phone to us, in the sense that, you know, there's a feeling amongst the public, you know, when it comes to either the review, in your review, when there's extra money floating about Stormont, and coming to the end of the financial year, there's a bit of a spurt on for spend. Now, some of us think that some of that money, I did mention earlier on, some of that money might have been more wisely spent, or at least we would have liked to have had an input into that. And, you know, the community out there at the moment, and again, Councillor Hurley alluded to, especially the rural community, who feel they're not getting the service that they used to get. And in fact, the roads are going back to maybe to the, like I mentioned earlier, the 16th and 17th century. They're starting to actually go back and narrow in, and that's how bad it is. So I'm just saying, from the optics for the public, I think it would be much better if you were to contact the like of us, come to these meetings at the appropriate time when you have money, and do listen to us what we are saying, you know, because if we're reflecting the community, maybe that money will be spent where the people would like to see it spent. And I think there's an opportunity to do that, you know, and I'd just love to know your thoughts on that. And again, what I mentioned earlier again about, you know, the type of spend that there is done at those particular years. The other thing, but somebody did mention, we're going to have to look at some more imaginative ways of getting the country roads cut. whereby, you know, maybe we do engage the local community there in some form or other. And again, I'd love it if you had to leave maybe here this evening and taking that on board and maybe setting up a working group that will realistically look at it and, you know, look at it objectively with a long-term plan in this, because, you know, we can't go on the way we're going on in this, in that respect, you know. Okay.
Councillor McAteer, would you like to respond now?
Yeah, okay. The 12.2 million is the work in this report which was completed last year. So that's a total. If you total up all the work that was completed last year, that was what was completed, and that's where the 12.2 million comes from. The end of year spend, you know, we Stephen and Cindy both have priority lists for resurfacing schemes, and those are developed through different formats. They can be developed through structural assessments, which are where we have machinery which goes out and measures the structural integrity of a road from a friction point of view, from a structural nature point of view, and those will identify roads that need to be resurfaced. So from a structural point of view, that will be the reason to go on. We do listen to yourselves and the public all the time when people make requests for resurfacing, and we do go out and look at roads from a visual point of view and that, and we pull that together with our structural assessments to decide on our priority listings. So I do feel you do get an input. Okay, I mean, we don't come back to you at the end of the day and say, okay, we've now got £1 million in this area and we've got 20 schemes here, we can only do 10, which 10 do you want done? I think there has to be a level of, you know, there has to be a level of trust in us that we're going to do the right roads for the right reasons, and I think we want to be involved, but I think it would be unfair of me to come and say, okay, council, there's 20 schemes, I can only do 10, tell me which 10 you want. It would be very difficult for this group to pick the 10 schemes that were done. So I do take your point, and I do want to have that interaction, but I do feel the final decision on which ones to go forward have to be left with the roads engineers and the maintenance engineers for the reasons that we would decide to do those. On the last point then, in relation to innovative ways how we get grass cut or do whatever, I have been in contact with Liam and the chief executives of the other two councils, and I'm convening a meeting in the next few weeks to look at opportunity for community self-help, if you like, for want of a better term, whereby are there community groups out there who would be keen to get involved and do that? I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be, but I think I know the chief executive here was very keen to certainly instigate that interaction, and the other two are exactly the same. So we're going to kick that off and see where we can take it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, firstly, can I concur with your sentiments regarding the three young men that were killed? I know the Sloan family from what I call, and it is an unbelievable tragedy that has really stunned the whole Mourne community. So I'd like to be associated with your comments. In terms of DRD, I agree with what Declan has just said there, Simon. You know, we have a situation in Kilkeel at the minute whereby parks like Rooney Park that have what appear to a layman to be perfectly good lighting, where there's been no complaints about that lighting scheme that's been replaced now at considerable cost. And, you know, whenever we were speaking to your staff earlier and they say, look, we haven't even got enough money to buy a litre of weed killer, it makes me wonder, how has this management been done? Because certainly if I was a manager in DRD Road Service or Transport NI, I would be saying to my people, right, tell me what your priorities are. What do we do here to kill off these weeds? What do we do to put in these minor traffic warning signs at schools and churches and, you know, to try and get traffic to slow down, things that would reassure communities and that type of work that needs done. So I'm concerned about those aspects. In terms of the hedge cutting, you know, your people have been out now and they've been doing actually a very good job in Mourne, but you'll get councillors will get calls to say, why the Elvis haircut with it cut at the bottom and the hedge still out at the top? Now, there's a big issue there because under the new rules from the European Union on cross-compliance under the new CAP scheme, it's now very, very difficult for farmers to cut their hedges between the 1st of March and the 31st of August. Apparently, if under the old scheme, farmers would have just to in and cut the hedges along the road during the summer months if there were briars and all sticking out of them. But that's very much difficult now, because you have to show that you've received complaints and this type of thing because of the nesting birds. So that's going to be a problem that we're going to have to overcome. I know there is a derogation on that legislation, but it's more difficult for the farmers to go ahead and do it now in confidence that somebody's not going to come out and say, you disturbed these birds. And that's why a lot of the hedges that would usually be cut this year aren't cut. So if there's going to be a community aspect, we would need to work with the Department of Agriculture to try and get absolute clarification on those issues so as farmers can feel confident to go ahead and do it, get a contractor to go ahead and do it. And Liam Hannaway will say Riley's a perpetual complainer from Mourne. Yes. But, you know, when you do look through your report, I think that Mourne has been overlooked again. Now, maybe that's my fault as a councillor. Maybe we're not crying hard enough. You know, there's that saying that the crying baby gets fed, but, you know, I do cry a lot. And I don't seem... a lot of the wee small schemes that should be on there aren't on. And, you know, as I say, if we can prioritise where the money goes, as Declan said, on things like killing weeds and basic small things that mean a lot to people, I would like to see that type of work done, Simon. But I would thank you for the effort you are putting in. One issue I would like you to clear up. You know, 500 industrial staff still in Transport NI. If there's no money for those guys to do anything, what are they actually doing? What do they actually do now? Are they just sitting in the canteen all day, or what do they do? Thank you, Chairman, Madam Chair.
Simon, would you like to respond to some of those points?
Okay, thank you, Councillor. I'll take the Rooney Park issue first, the street lighting replacement in Rooney Park. I think the public share your frustration and the difference between what the different types of money, the capital money and the resource money. As I tried to explain in my presentation, the resource money is the money that we just don't have any of, which is what we cut grass with. Now, we have certain levels of capital money, and this replacement scheme in Rooney Park is a replacement street lighting scheme. The street lighting system in that has come to the end of its useful and safe life from a structural integrity point of view and from an electrical point of view. And there may not be any apparent reason to the public why it's been replaced, but there are engineering reasons why it's replaced. And we feel we're using our capital budget there in the most appropriate way. Now, and we've had this discussion with other in the meetings prior to this, I cannot use capital money. Even if I wanted to, I cannot use capital money for resource purposes. There are treasury rules, and even the minister can't do that. There are treasury rules in place which do not allow capital money to be used for resource activities. So I'm 100% sure a lot of the public don't get grasp the difference between the two and can't understand why we're doing some capital works and we can't cut the grass. I accept that misunderstanding and that frustration is out there, but I can assure you that it's not something that we are taking a decision not to do. It's something that is not available to us. So it's a hard message to get across, but unfortunately it is the position. I note your points in relation to the hedge cutting, and when we're taking forward the community self-help, I'll ask those questions to make sure we're on message with that. In relation to the work in the Mourne area, I've tried to explain that we prioritise our schemes based on various assessments that we do, so that we are directing the money to the areas of most need. I certainly do not exclude areas for any reason whatsoever. If there's an engineering need there and it's a high priority, that's where it goes. But I'm happy to go through the report with you, sometime, and we can look at that and see what your frustrations are in relation to that. What I'd say to you about our industrial staff: if we didn't have our industrial staff available to us now, we would be doing nothing. And this skeleton service is using our industrial staff, utilising them right across all four divisions, and those are the staff that are giving us the service that we have. They're not sitting about doing nothing. There may well be restrictions on what they can do on the level of, as I said, we have, there's not the money we need to get the patching material and all of that. but we are trying to get them out there and use them on the areas that, that we need to be done. They're not sitting about doing nothing. That's a, please try and get that message out. And what I would say to you, if we did not have that resource, we would really be in a difficult position now. Really, and it's bad enough, it would be worse. So.
Thank you, Simon. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. Just couple of issues. I've raised already a few with Stephen, so there's no point in going over them again. I'm also concerned with routine maintenance. One of my problems is that signage coming into towns and villages and along the road, you know, they're that overgrown that people can't see 30 mile, 40 mile an hour signs, and that, and their excuses because they're speeding is they didn't know because they couldn't see the signage. You know, what is the policy there? Do you have a duty of care even to cut round them? You know, if you're not doing the rest, even if you're doing them, the signage can be seen. Then, the other thing is that I don't blame the section office. I have a lot of respect for the section office in my area, at Castlenavon there. I have to say myself, I know he's not here tonight, but he would agree with me, and he would like to say the same thing. Councillor Andrews has a good working relationship in our own Rowallan area with a number of issues, particularly with Hugh Morgan. We come out, there's times Hugh can't deliver and some things, but 95% of the time he does deliver. So he does. And I think it's unfair that we're maybe directing the criticism at the section office when we should be directing the criticism at the powers that be at Stormont, to be honest. That's where the problem lies. That's where the budgets are being cut, $2 million a week, because of certain things. And they'll say no more about that, but that's where the problem lies. Not the section office. Yous are taking the flak from ourselves as elected representatives. And I think it's unjust in us doing that there, because in the past, as I've said, myself and Councillor Andrews has a brilliant working relationship with your department. The unfortunate thing is there's no money to carry out a lot of this stuff. So let's focus our attention on where it should be focused, and that's Stormont.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Are there any points there you want to come back
just
on?
Just on the signage issue, where we feel that there is a safety issue in with regards to signage being obscured, we will take the appropriate action, whether that's our internal contractor going out to cut that, if it's our own hedges, or we try to serve notice on a landowner, we try and do that. And I'd just like to thank you in relation to our my section office staff. I know how good they are, and it's good to get good feedback. They are working in difficult circumstances, but they do want to deliver a good job. So I thank you for that.
Thank you. Councillor Kimmins.
Yes, thanks very much for the report. And I'm just delighted to see that we finally are making progress with the one-way system in Barcroft. After years and years and years of asking for this, we're finally getting somewhere. So thanks particularly to David, who's done a lot of work on this. It's just one issue. I unfortunately missed the clinics earlier on, and it's something I raised last year, and we've continually been lobbying Transport NI. We've also written to the previous minister, is it, Danny Kendi, requesting a site meeting as well, and he didn't respond, as well as one of our MLAs had met with him and mentioned it too. It's to do with Bull Thompson's Lane, or better known as Bull's Hill, in beside Raymond Kelly Park. There's a number of houses that have been built there in the past number of years and are very, very close to a very narrow road which is used by two-way traffic. I have been contacted nearly on a weekly basis by residents there. We've had a site meeting, nothing's actually happened. We were more or less told nothing could be done, but you know, at one stage a bin lorry got in a car got wedged on its side between the bin lorry and the ditch. It's only a matter of time before someone's killed. There's been so many cars coming into contact there, very near misses, but where they can't even turn or anything. So something needs to be done quite soon. There's a lot of young children living in these new houses as well. I'm not sure what Transport NI can offer, but I would ask for it to be seriously looked at before there is a serious accident. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Councillor Simon.
I haven't been briefed on that scheme. Would you mind if I go away and find out from the guys, and I will come back to you personally and discuss that with you? I'm sorry, I can't discuss it because I don't have that information. Thank you.
Emily. Geraldine, sorry, Councillor Donnelly.
Sorry, thank you very much, and thank you very much, Simon, for the presentation. This might sound a little bit silly, but a number of people have said to me it's really in relation to the B30, and obviously there's major works to take place very soon at the Lake End, and people have said to me, you know, the road needs to be widened, and while that work is going on, would this be a good time to maybe consider doing some, you know, whatever relevant work at the Lake End there while the other work is taking place? Is it a possibility? And, you know, what's the update on the B30? Because we have been waiting. I'm a councillor 10 years now, and it's been sort of on the agenda since I became a councillor. And it's no, we're now in our second minister, or he's nearly gone from our own area. And I feel if a minister comes from another area, if we didn't get it from the two ministers who are local, I don't know what our chances are while another minister is in place. So that's really what my question is. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Simon.
Thank you for that. In relation to the work, unfortunately Cindy can't be here tonight. She's on leave, so you probably would have got a direct answer from Cindy in relation to the work ongoing at the Lake End of the B30. Again, if you didn't mind, if I was able to discuss that with Cindy and come back to you directly, I'll phone you directly and we can have a discussion on that. I'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Kern.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Richardson, thank you. I want to just thank you very much for the presentation that you made to the public councillors on Friday. It was a long and detailed presentation. I mean, there's a lot of questions asked and some answers we got that we didn't like, but that's another thing coming here. What I would like to know is, and I welcome this, that you're going to present the schemes to the general public and have their views of what they're saying. Will you be making a press statement to let the public know? Because sometimes when we have discussions in here in council, the public out there doesn't know, and the traffic problem is a massive problem, so it is. And I know on Friday you outlined some of the schemes that you would like to think about, but I would like the public to come along and give their views, because there's a vast difference, a lot of views out there, even today, in relation to, I was talking to people about the Edward Street thing they got there, but I haven't said that. So are you going to present that to the press so that they can know where to come and see these schemes together? That's one thing. The other thing, before you came here this evening, before the last meeting, we were asked to write in with some questions that we would like you to answer to us. Will we be getting answers to those questions? Because I did write it in four, and there's two that I would like answers to, very much so, in relation to how you can go ahead and have a small scheme here without any cost at all to the department that would relieve, not finalise the traffic congestion in our paddock, but would relieve it. I would like the answers to those questions that I wrote in about. And second, too, I would like to just thank your section manager, Mr. Duffy, there, because I have found him very helpful throughout the year.
Thank you, Councillor Kern. Just before Simon comes in, to pick up on one of the points you made, Councillor Kern, the purpose of the DEA clinics this afternoon before tonight's presentation was for that very purpose, was to allow Simon and his colleagues to pick up on some of the questions that had been presented by councillors over the last couple of weeks. And he did meet with most of the councillors who were at the DEA clinics. I don't know whether you arrived a bit late or...
I apologise about that. I thought there was clinics for Rowan and Patrick. Then Patrick Constance met with the with the officers on Friday. We had a 3-hour meeting with them almost, so we had. And very detailed. And I thought then
I understand. I think the Friday meeting, the purpose of that was to go through the traffic study, and then today's meeting was to go around all of the other major and minor works that councils had brought issue about. But anyway, I understand, because if you have submitted questions prior to today, I understand Simon probably has those answers anyway, so I'm sure you'll be furnished with them at tonight's meeting. Go ahead, Simon.
Yes, indeed. I mean, a lot of the councillors will have received direct replies to their queries verbally, and some have had to write. I'm happy to take your queries, and I will respond in writing in relation to all your queries.
Thank you very much. And when you are putting the advertisement in, put it in a format that the people know that their contribution is very important to traffic congestion in their public.
I was going to come on to that then, Patrick, issue, because that was just in relation to your questions. I will answer all the questions. I mean, we found that the two meetings last week, the meetings we had with elected representatives last week were very, very useful. And it was all a programming thing for us. We wanted to bring a draft report to that, to the councillors, to allow any final comments to be made that could then be changed in the report. We did not want to bring a done deal and the councillors feel that they had no input to it. And there were some very useful comments that came back, and we're now taking that report away and finalising it. And I know there was some frustration that we weren't able to go into the press with the options right away, but we felt that if we had the presentation available to go out, councillors would have felt that there had no input to it. So it was a case of giving you your place, letting you have input, and there were some things that we changed. I have now asked my staff to finalise that report as quickly as possible and work with the press, because the local press are going to be very useful to us in getting that message out, and we will provide them with all of the options in a format, whatever format they like to present it in the paper. We will do that, and then we will also have a presentation somewhere in a suitable venue in the town to allow that to be consulted on again. So we're going to use all avenues we can to get that message out, but we just wanted to make sure to present it in the right way so that it wasn't a done deal before, because it wasn't all options. And you'll see from the consultation, and I said at the meeting, all of the options are still open, and there's nothing been closed out and nothing been decided upon. It is all still open, and that's what we want to present.
Thank you very much.
And again, I'd just like to thank you for your comments in relation to Stephen and his team. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. I too would like to thank you very much for the report, but I'm afraid this is a wee rod you cut for your own back. You mentioned the great success of the Gulf and the way traffic was managed. And while I would compliment the way the traffic was managed, most of the traffic travelling to Newcastle from the south was directed along the backside and the centre of the mountains, because the road from Warren Point, basically, to Newcastle is unfit for purpose. It is not of a standard. For one of our priorities as a council is a tourism destination. Now, a few years ago, there was a collapse at Restrever, a part of that road. If we get another year of bad weather, and then that happens again, that whole section of the coast of the Newry and Moreton District Council area is cut off. Has there been any progress made, or has any engineers looked at that section of road? Because to me, that should be one of our major projects going forward. The plans for that road from Warren Point to Newcastle were done some 40 years ago, and got lost in the Charlesburg Room, as Charlie called it. There's actually buildings along that road which now sit with the back of the building facing the road, because they were built round so as to face the new road, Glasdrummond Primary School being one of them. It got on so far as the fences went up along farmers' lands, dividing out, ready for that work to start. As I said, disappeared into the Charlesburg Room. I would like to know, is there any chance that that road might happen in my lifetime or the lifetime of some of the grandchildren?
Simon? Yes, you're right. The traffic coming from the south was directed around the coast road, and it proved very successful, I have to say, and we got some... Well, okay, I'll discuss that afterwards. That was the intention of where we wanted to bring them, so they would come into Donard Park. But again, in relation to your main query, which is in relation to the major upgrade of that road, I'd have to say that in my time in this post, I haven't been briefed or I haven't had any work told to me about the work that was completed or the drafting, the planning work that was completed in that road previously. I would need to go away and do some research as to where it was, but certainly there's no major plans for a realignment of that road that I'm aware of in my office at this minute in time. But I'm happy to discuss that with you and see what went on in the past.
Just maybe to have you, there is happening around us, you are aware that the plans were done. There was a gentleman that works in your office, Craig Allen, who used to live in Ballymartin Village. What he said, he doesn't know where the plans were drawn for the future.
Okay. Sorry, thank if you give me the name of that person, I'll speak to him after the meeting. I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chair, and welcome back again. Simon, just a simple question. Well, first of all, thanks for your report and your presentation. It was very good. I was just wondering at what stage the upgrade of the A7 is at the minute between Downpatrick and Belfast. Is that still being considered? There's sort of a final stage to be done, isn't there? Thank you.
Yes, the S7 is progressing well for us. We hope to have the design of that road complete by November this year. There's no funding for it, but I think, as I explained the last time I was here, I want to take these schemes as far as I can so that they're in... properly prepared and ready to go if the money becomes available. So that work is progressing well with hoping to completing the design before Christmas.
Councillor Taylor.
Yes, thanks, Chairman.
Councillor McKay, I apologise.
Don't worry about it.
I'm on another planet. I'm still suffering from jet lag.
I was called worse. Councillor I think my major concern would be hedges, really. It's been spoken about before. I'm not so sure we've got an answer in relation to what the farmer can do when they can't do it at certain times. My understanding was any road, any hedge along a road where it was dangerous, whatever, should be cut, whether or not. And we have areas if you're going from Newcastle to Kilkeel, there's areas there, and I hear continuously from lorry drivers and bus owners in particular, that it's a nightmare with these mirrors getting caught. Now, it used to be a mirror. You could have bought a mirror glass for about £10, £20. If you break some of these bus mirrors, now you're talking £700. And the dangerous part about that is, for them to avoid these bushes and trees sticking out, they're at least 2 to 3 feet over the white line, and they'll tell you that. But there's nothing they can do about it, and that's a real dangerous situation. I'm going to refer back, and the Deputy Chair will probably say not holidays again. I referred back to a holiday I had in Cornwall, and I'm very interested to see how the hedges were cut there. They obviously have a different policy. Not only do they cut that strip along the bottom, but they will only do that strip along the bottom if, say for example, a right-hand turn, wherever you have to view across, they will do that. If it's a concave side and it's not affecting your vision, don't do it. But they would put their emphasis into maybe 30 metres back from a road sign, which was spoken about earlier, and they will slope that up and they will run their machine right up so that road sign is visible. So I think they have a different means of spending their time and money on how they do their hedge cutting. I'm not telling you're going to suck eggs, but that's basically what I'm saying. What was the last thing? I maybe did mention it earlier on, but I think it's important that everyone hears. In relation to a C-class road, you might say it's no certain thing, and there are these small back roads that may not have the amount of traffic that a B or most certainly an A has, but I feel, from what I am told by some of those residents, that they are treated as second-hand citizens, second-class citizens, because obviously, that's their road. They're in and out of that road a dozen times. And maybe only them. But are they not entitled to get it fixed because there's damage been done to their own vehicles, wheels, tires, what have you. And I have been told that they are now, the roadmen are no longer allowed even to go on those C-class roads, even to put a yellow mark around a hole. So there's certainly no hope of getting that fixed. The other thing was, I think it's item 3 on the agenda where you did speak, you were going to speak I thought maybe they got a bit more detail on the Southern Relief Road. I see the importance of it, the importance for the wider Mourne Newry area has great advantages, and I would love to see some more of a movement taking place there. I know there were sconces and things in the way, and apparently that maybe had been dealt with, that there's nothing of any great value there, but I would love to see that getting more priority. It's maybe something that's maybe not perhaps even in a programme for government, but it's maybe something that should be looked at. And just on a very local issue, Rooney Park in Kilkeel has got those new streetlights, and a number of people have come to me sort of condemning the workmanship which has gone in there, where if there was a broken flag lifted, the broken flag was replaced as opposed to replacing it with a new flag. And a lot of areas, the infill of the flags was maybe just sand brushed into them. And certainly the residents weren't happy. That's enough. Thank you.
Councillor Simon.
Thank you very much. I certainly note your story on the hedge cutting in England. As you've said, that most of the hedges are cut by the landowner, the adjacent landowner. So, I mean, where they are dangerous, you know, we do try and act to inform the landowner and instruct them to take the appropriate action as and when they're needed. In relation to what you mentioned, C-class road, we can't just talk about C-class road. On lightly trafficked roads, it is the unfortunate fact that we at this minute in time are unable to fix potholes on lightly trafficked rural roads. That's the position we find ourselves in from the resource budget situation. And as I said in my presentation, we are targeting our limited resources to more heavily trafficked roads. And that's unfortunately just the situation we are in. In relation to the Southern Reef Road, it was very disappointing news that we didn't get European funding. We had hoped to get European funding to help us with the design costs and the development of the project, and hope that would then lead into funding which would help us with the construction costs. We didn't get the money for the development work. However, what I can say to you is that we do have a budget within Transport NI for this year to continue the development of the project until the end of this financial year, and obviously we will bid again next year. And you're right to say that the tree sconces that were the NIEA were looking at, and we had an archaeological survey done, they don't seem to be of any major archaeological feature which would prohibit us working on one of the lines that it was an option for us. So that was good news. In relation to Rooney Park, I will take your comment away about the replacement of the flags, and I'll try and come back to you on what the situation is there. But I thank you for those points. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Councillor Mernon.
Just a point of clarity, maybe for something you said earlier on, Simon. I was at a recent site meeting that Chris Hazard attended, and something that was brought up that led him to say that ministers had special dispensation to transfer funds from capital budgets to their maintenance budget. So can you clarify that? Is the MLA right, or are you right?
I'm not aware of that. I certainly wouldn't say he's wrong. I'm not saying it, but I am not aware of that whatsoever. I'm not aware that that's able to be done, but I can't. I think in certain circumstances you could make an argument for a piece of work being capital. You could make you could capitalise it for a piece of work that you could argue and make a reasonable argument that it is capital. I don't think you could never argue that grass cutting or weed spraying or anything like that is capital money. But so I'm unaware of that. I mean, I'm certainly aware of certain circumstances where certain functions have been capitalised for very good reason, but I'm not sure of a widespread permission just to change money from capital to resource. I'm not aware of that. But
okay, councillors, any further input? No, everyone's happy enough. I think most of our issues had been dealt with prior. Oh, not happy, maybe content. As I say, most of our individual issues had been dealt with prior to the presentation happening through the DEA clinics, and I hope most of you will look upon those favourably and that we can roll on with those in the time ahead. Simon and Stephen, thank you very much for coming along this evening. We've enjoyed having you here, and hopefully it will not be the last for a long time. Councillors, thank you once again. I'm way home to sleep.